This morning, the state legislature is set to vote on key bills, the state budget, and a spending plan for the Federal CARES Act funding to offset job losses in our community. Bills covering public worker raises and police transparency are also on the checklist. Representative Delal Bulati joined us to give us her perspective. She expressed her concern as a parent about wanting to know more about the plan for reopening public schools in the fall. The House Majority Leader gives us an overview of this first week back in session after a long recess.
We did a lot, but key to all of this was the CARES funding and determining how we would spend $635 million of federal funds. And I'm proud to say, I think we really rolled up our sleeves, and we've put together a package that will really address the immediate needs of people, especially those who are unemployed. $230 million is going to be allocated for a state-enhanced weekly benefit of $100 a week when the $600 federal plus-up disappears. We also put together a $100 million package that will result in rent relief for individuals with we calculated it'll be about 34,000 households, and what it will be about $500 a month rental assistance, or 50%, whichever is lesser, for households from August through the end of the year. So, you know, we are in a situation where we may have high unemployment rates for a while. Tourism is going to come back slowly. We know that there might be surges in the coronavirus. So we really wanted to provide for the immediate needs of the people of the state.
I think lawmakers have gone back and forth on the transparency issue for police misconduct, on the records for that. You also have issues about collective bargaining.
Our conference committee pushed out a police reform bill that does make disclosure of those officers who have been suspended after the adjudication of their issues for misconduct. So their names will be now made available to the public. I think that's really important. Transparency elevates trust in government. We also are requiring the Law Enforcement Standards Board, giving a little bit more time for them to finish their rulemaking, as well as ensure that they establish statewide policies for police departments across the state. With respect to the collective bargaining bills, that's another very important issue because it means funding for our essential government workers. We know that government workers are the front lines, and they had negotiated their pay raises, their salaries, and so we had to come in and fund those as well. And so that's going to be done also on Friday.
The pay raises that have been negotiated, where are we going to get the money to pay those out?
So, you know, one of the things that we did with the budget was we ensured that there was money that the governor could tap into. This includes the ability of the governor to borrow funds from the municipal lending fund. We also were able to identify vacancies and then put those monies aside. And so what we did was we took all of those monies and were able to identify those to be able to make sure that we could pay for all of the needs and government services that are going to be required in the year ahead. I will say that another thing is that the way collective bargaining works is that it's a negotiation between the executive and the unions, and the legislature's role is really to approve or reject it. And at this point in time, the governor did send those arbitrated agreements down to the legislators for approval, essentially. And so I think as we move forward, you know, it's really important that we go ahead, because this was agreements made. For fairness, we want to make sure that we do pay all of those essential government workers who are out there. And what we do know is that from the last recession, furloughs and cuts actually slowed down economic recovery. So one of the things I think that future legislators will have to consider and watch really closely is, as we move out of the coronavirus pandemic, we need to see where our economy goes. And we have to be able to assess at that point, you know, what's going to happen. And then again, the collective bargaining process starts over again.
Can lawmakers at this point insert, let's say, a payment schedule, you know, backload the raises that have been negotiated if we don't have the funds up front?
Collective bargaining is a process where legislators don't insert themselves into that process. It's actually a very dangerous precedent to set, because what is negotiated, what is arbitrated, is what should be honored. And once legislators set the precedent of getting involved in that, then that disrupts the entire process moving forward. I think what really needs to happen at this point is we need to ensure that essential government services don't stop, because what we're talking about are these are the frontline workers. These are the social workers, the nurses in the public hospital system, the high school principals, the school cafeteria workers, the educational assistants. All of these people, as we shut down, continued working. And we need to make sure that they can keep working so that our economy can continue, at least the state part of the state government, is also remain strong as a sector and move forward and then really assess what our revenues are going to be like.
I know at this point in time, a lot of folks are looking toward the school year. So, but what are your concerns
sure.
at this point?
I actually am a public school parent. I have a daughter in elementary school and a daughter in high school, and I'm very concerned. It is not reassuring to me that there isn't a more robust plan about how school is going to open. I hear from far too many teachers that they kind of don't know what's going on and that there's a lack of communication and understanding of what the plan is to reopen. So as a public school parent, as a legislator, I'm very concerned. You know, I think distance learning in the months of March, April, and May were a real struggle. So, you know, when I had just a few weeks ago when the superintendent mentioned that perhaps it would be only elementary school kids that might be coming, it wasn't clear who was supposed to be coming back into schools. And my view was, at this point in time, they should have a plan to reopen all schools, elementary and high schools. And it just seems like there is such a lack of plans coming out from the Department of Education. The school year is August 4th. They should be telling parents now, or at least certainly by July, what to expect in August. Parents struggled with distance learning. They struggled with connectivity. Many schools were just left with enrichment packets that, quite frankly, I mean, I know that our teachers were trying really hard. Everyone was under quite a lot of stress, but we can't have another year like what we had over the last 3 months of the last school year.
I guess it's the uncertainty that's very stressful for families.
It is uncertainty. I will say that I think on the child care side, that child care centers, while they had reduced hours, there was actually some child care facilities that continued because they had to continue for essential workers in March, April, and May. I think with the guidance that's coming out from the Department of Human Services, my hope is that the early child care facilities are in their planning stages now and, like the Department of Education, will be able to reopen safely for those preschools that should and need to be open sometime in August. I think what we're going to see in the early child care arena and in the even in the public schools and the private schools is you're going to see groupings of students. My hope is that all of them can start in person, you know, with physical learning in person and in place, because, you know, that's where we know that there's the best opportunity for learning and socializing. But of course, I think they're going to have contingency plans of in the event that there might be positive cases on site, or if we see a surge and then that requires us to return to some, you know, under some stay-at-home orders, which of course I hope does not happen. But I think when you see surges in other places where schools might have to plan to like go to half capacity, there needs to be contingency plans for that to happen. And that needs to be communicated very clearly to parents. I think parents are going to have to be ready for potentially having their children do some in-person and at-home distance learning. But the more communication, always the better.
That was Representative Della Bilotti, House Majority Leader and mother of two students in public schools, sharing her concern about not seeing a plan yet from the DOE about the fall opening.